All right, everyone. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Hot Widows Club podcast. My name is Crystal, the very hot widow of Eric. And with me tonight, I have Allie.
Hello.
The hot widow of Ross. And our guest this evening is Angie, the very hot widow of Jack.
Hello.
So welcome to the Hot Widows Club podcast.
Yes, thanks for having me, girls.
You got it. So we're in studio with our guests today, which makes a big difference.
Huge.
I love our remote guests, but our in-studio guests are also so special because we get to really connect.
Yeah. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, yeah. It was a trek, but I got here.
So the funny part about her trek is poor Angie was dealing with me coordinating her visit and everything to come down here. And I'm pretty good at that usually. Like, I've never really screwed that up before. But I typed the address to our studio and I left out a number. So poor Angie calls and she's like, hey, I'm in a parking garage. And I was like, if you see someone doing drugs, just buy some
exactly.
Real quick.
It's like, well, maybe I'll get back in my car and just continue to drive.
Just be safe, Angie.
One number makes a difference. That's for sure.
Yes, it does. It does. So let's see. What do we got for tonight? It is October.
Yes.
My birthday month. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I'm turning another year older. I can't believe that.
I know. Time flies.
Time does fly. It feels like we were just celebrating my birthday.
Time is a thief.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I agree.
Yeah. Ellie and I were just talking about how much we've aged in the last 2 years. So much more than I aged the whole time that Eric was sick.
Yeah.
I feel like I look like an old ass woman.
Oh.
You don't.
Not at all.
Not at all. Oh, my God. You guys are too kind, but I don't feel it.
You don't. You look great.
Oh my gosh. I got black. My eyes are all black because I was crying all night. I sent Millie, my oldest, to homecoming last night. And oh my gosh, what a flood of emotions that was. That was a huge first.
Yeah, that's a big milestone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I held on to that like all week. Like, I was anxious. And so she had a big tournament yesterday. And I, after the tournament, was going to take her to go buy her like a special piece of jewelry from Eric. And in my mind, I thought, oh, you're killing it, girlfriend. You're such a great widow of mom. Like, you're so cool. And man, you're just really going to knock it out of the park. And so I said, Millie, would you want to go buy something really special for homecoming from daddy today? And she goes, but it's not from daddy. Aww. And I'm like, yeah, but it's the thought, honey. She goes, but I feel like I wouldn't respect it because it's not from daddy. And I was like, at first I thought it was a total crotch punch. And I'm like, oh my God, why doesn't she want to celebrate her dead dad like me? And then I processed it and I was like, wait a minute, girl, maybe you're doing a good job. Like, maybe her logical, like, this isn't real, mom, because I know the real dad and you've done all the real stuff. And like, what you give me, mom, is enough. Like, stop pushing extra stuff that I don't need.
I think she was right in that.
I think so, too. I think so, too. And so I really kind of left that moment, like, feeling defeated, yet, like, on top of the world. Like, I guess I got it. I guess I'm doing good enough. I've got happy kids. They have good grades. They like being around me most of the time. Like, 87% of the time. I mean, and they think we're the coolest little family unit ever.
Yeah. What I told you yesterday was all of their needs are being met. Like, everybody always asks, how are the boys? Because that's like where their mind goes. Mm-hmm. They don't ask like, how are you? But how are the boys?
Yeah.
Which is fine. But I'm always like, the boys are great. All of their needs are being met. Mm-hmm. They're being loved. They're being fed.
Are they being fed?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say healthy, but like, they're being fed.
And that matters.
That's perfect. Yes. My daughter said at 4 o'clock, hey, could I make a frozen pizza for like a late lunch? I said, yeah, girl, let's do it.
That's funny.
Yeah. I'm like, as long as they're sleeping through the night because their belly's full, they're good.
Touche.
They're good. So your kids are doing great because all of their needs are being met. You are loving them unconditionally. You're giving them a ton of attention. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're doing great too. But I have to tell you, I love that sweater so much. It hurts. Allie's wearing a vintage Husker red cardigan.
I love it.
She needs a cigar and a glass of whiskey right now.
I love cardigans. Yeah. There's something about cardigans that are so easy to throw on.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look adorable.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Absolutely adorable.
I remembered last week I didn't do lyrics to a song and I had done it for like 2 weeks in a row. But this week I wanted to read poetry. And I actually saw this from your socials, Angie.
Oh.
This was a couple weeks ago. Okay. And I was like, I love this. And you, Crystal, you actually sent it to me like a week later.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. So it's something that.
Who copied who?
Well, I don't know. I just think it started to go around.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think we all connected to it. It's by Whitney Hansen. And it's the one that goes, if you ever get the chance to know somebody who knows grief or love somebody that knows grief, I just, do you know which one I'm talking about? It is, and I can't find it, but it talks about if you know somebody that has gone through grief, love them because they know how to deeply love because they know what it's like to lose somebody.
Yes.
And it's a unique kind of love.
Exactly. Yes. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
And I just resonated so much with it because it's so true. I have so much love to give.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, me too.
It's like, you know, they always say grief is just love with nowhere to go. And it's so true because I have so much love for Ross that is so built up and I could give so much to so many people.
Exactly.
And that's grief.
Yeah.
And you don't know that kind of love without going through that deep grief.
And you guys are doing that. You are giving love by doing what you're doing here. What you're sharing and the perspectives and the feelings that you have, I mean, that's giving some of that love out too.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still have so much more pent up though.
Like I do. So
the love, like even for my children, like when I hug them, I just want to hug them so tight because I love them so much. Mm-hmm. Like more than I should love something. And Kevin, the dog, I love him. I love my friend. It's so hard.
It's a deep love.
It is.
I have so much deep love for those around me.
I did not have that before Eric died.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you get the chance to know us, you will know what deep love is.
Yes, I love it.
And you will be loved forever by us.
Forever.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Can I take a second to talk about Angie's socials? Because Angie not only is a widow, but you have something else that you do on the side called Butterflies and Halos. Can you tell us about what that is?
Correct. Yeah. So about a year ago, 2022 June, I started a greeting card company. Basically, it's all geared around grief and how we as people can show up for our friends when they're going through their hardest times. Yeah. So all my cards are kind of griefy. Some are snarky. Some are very heartfelt. Some are your simple thinking of you. But it's everything I wish I would have had received when I lost my husband.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where it all kind of stemmed from. So I started with an Etsy store and I currently have now a website.
Cool.
Butterfliesandhalos.com. And I have a blog on there and I sell notepads now. So I'm kind of evolving into some more stationery stuff. So
and stickers. I was
stickers.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So what I love about your cards and what caught my attention and where this kind of all started is that they're grief cards, but there's also cancer cards.
Yes.
There's cards you can't find when you go to the grocery store.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And so this one is, you will love this one. I was just laughing when
I
read this.
Is there a swear word in it?
There's a couple.
Yes.
But I'm going to skip that one.
Yeah.
The next person that tells you everything happens for a reason, I will throat punch them for you.
Allie sent that to me and I'm going to respond. I'm going to tell you what I said to her. What did you say? You sent that to me last night, didn't you?
I think so. I don't remember, but that's one of her cards.
Yes.
So it kind of gives you a gist of what.
Yeah. My biggest thing is, you know, I think everyone thinks that you have to try to fix us as grievers, and we can't be fixed. Nobody can fix us. We have to navigate it. But how can you show up and help, you know, help us just move through our grief journey? And, you know, I mean, I would never send my best friend a card that says with deepest sympathy or I'm so sorry for your loss. I mean, I wouldn't do that, you know, and as well as they are intended to be, they're just not there. You know, I would give my friend the one that says, you know, I'm going to throat punch the next person that says
it happens for a reason because we don't like that.
Exactly. So
is that the one you told me about? It could have been worse. Well, you know what, Becky? It could have been a hell of a lot better, too.
I saw that somewhere else, but oh. I love that one.
Yeah. Yes, that's the one I said, you know what, Becky? You can just fuck off.
I love it.
Okay, so here's what I want you to put on a greeting card. And I've totally stolen this. Somebody else has already put on a greeting card.
Okay.
It's my favorite greeting card. But on the front of it said, life's like a dick. Sometimes it gets hard for no reason.
Oh, I love that.
And it's my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love sending that to people. It's what I don't even have any more in stock. I have a whole card drawer.
Yes. Yes. You know, well, you know, for me with all my different losses, I had somebody come up. I do a lot of pop-up events.
Oh, cool.
And a gal had come up and she goes, well, I know what I want my card to say. And I just kind of released this one. It says, it's time for someone else to eat shit for a while. You know, when you have so much going on here. And I'm like, I love that. I said, can I use that? She's like, I don't care. She goes, I don't make cards. You do it. So I'm like, all right, I will.
That is awesome. That is true.
You know,
I don't want to wish ill will on anybody else.
Me either. Me either. No, no. Everything that I make comes from my heart. It really, really does. But you and Allie would give each other those cards.
Oh,
and
my gosh,
yeah,
yes.
You guys, it would resonate 1,000% with each other. That's the whole premise of what I'm trying to accomplish with my card company.
I love that.
Yeah.
I do want someone to walk in my shoes for a week, though.
You do?
I would mind.
I would wish it on.
You know what, Becky? I wouldn't mind just having one person walk in my shoes just to see what it's like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want to wish it. Like, I'll take it back over, but just spend a day in there. What else do you have for updates over there, Mom? She's got a Husker matching hat, too.
Oh.
It's so cute. She is a freaking doll tonight.
Thank you. Let's see. Updates from my side. Gus had his last football practice. This is flag football. This last Thursday. Mm-hmm. I think I told you about this, Crystal. And the coach sent an email maybe 2 hours before practice and said, this is going to be a parents versus kids scrimmage, like the whole practice. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have never played football. Like, I kind of know how to throw football, but we'll see how this goes. So I show up. And it is like 10 dads and me. Oh, and I'm like, if this isn't my life, like wrapped up in a bubble, like right here, I am mom and I'm dad. Mm-hmm. And so I just went out there and I was like, you know what? Who cares? I'll give it my best. And I had so much fun. And it was just like, I just felt like I was living in the moment, which was beautiful. But what meant the most is I got in the car and Gus goes, Mom, you're really good at football. That was fun, Mom. And I thought, wow, okay, I'm doing it. Like, he knows. He wasn't embarrassed. Like, I was so afraid he was going to be embarrassed. He wasn't. He was like, thank you. Anyways, I had to share that.
That's sweet.
I love that.
Ben's embarrassed by me. He told me he was embarrassed. He said, Mom, every time you come to my games, you have your fancy outfits on. And it's just kind of embarrassing. Do you have to wear your fancy outfits to my games?
What are your fancy outfits to the game?
I don't know. I don't think anything I wear is fancy. So I don't even know. Just my work clothes from the plastics factory. I mean, dresses, heels, cowboy boots. I don't know. Leotards. All the other shit I wear.
That's funny.
I know. He's so embarrassed by me. It's an ongoing joke now between some of the other parents there about, you know, if I'm going to embarrass him or not that day.
Oh.
But I'm proud of you. I had this so out of your comfort zone.
So out of my comfort zone. I felt so awkward out there. I'm like, but you know what? I did it. And I did it. I did something right because my son wasn't embarrassed, saw no difference. He honestly saw no difference between the dads out there and his mom. I touched me.
You're doing it.
Just doing whatever I have to do.
Yeah. To get by.
Yeah.
Well, it's October, so Nebraska has like 4 different seasons in one day. So it's freezing in the morning, mild, hot, freezing at night. So little weather update for what we're dealing with here. But with October comes the changing of the seasons and the darkness that comes in. And I think it's so beautiful to watch like something like shed it's life, right? And go into hibernation and get ready to come back new and fresh and exciting and to kind of watch that life cycle. But it makes me think that the holidays are coming.
Yes.
And
winter.
Winter is coming. It's not winter. It's January and February. Like, let's just call it out.
Yeah.
Like, those are the worst 2 months on the planet in Nebraska. And so they're coming and they're so dark. They're so lonely. Mm-hmm. It's just an awful like time. I'm thinking about it and getting anxious already. So I have a goal. It's called, I'm going to get jacked by January.
You're already jacked, so I don't know.
I'm getting more jacked by January, and I can't freaking wait. So I don't really know what jacked by January means, but I have made a commitment that I'm not going to drink at all in October except for one day. I don't know what day that is yet, though, because I'm going to celebrate my birthday, but I'm going to go out with a bang for sure. And then I'm not going to drink in November and December at all, which is super easy for me because I'm not a big drinker anyways, but... Mm-hmm. It'll be just fine. And then by January, I don't know if you'll recognize me. I'll probably be so jacked. I don't know if I'll be like busting out of my fancy outfits or what. I can't even begin.
You want to do a before and after shot?
No. No, I will not do a before and after. You know I already took before pictures. I take pictures all day long in front of my mirrors. Allie, I sent her something this morning. What was it, babe? What did it say?
I don't know.
It said, so I said, sometimes I replace my feelings with new clothes and I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah.
And she sent me a picture of some packages on her floor and it said Exhibit A. And I said, girl, I just spent $700 this morning on a bunch of crap for me and the kids for winter that I didn't even need. Mm. I don't know what I was thinking. Okay, I needed some new shoes for the plant. Okay, I work in manufacturing and the plant floors are concrete and it's a big plant. So I'm all over that place. So I needed some good soled shoes that are attractive. I can't be wearing man shoes.
However you justify it, you do it.
Thank you. Appreciate that support. And then I also bought a big frilly blouse to go with the fancy new manufacturing shoes. So.
Can you relate to that, Angie?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you do. You just kind of, our feelings just kind of go into... buying stuff.
Yeah.
I don't buy a lot myself either. You know, I'm not huge into that, but I think you should have nice shoes to walk the plant.
Thank you, Angie. Yes. I support that.
Yes.
I do support you supporting me, my shopping habit. Well, I don't have any other updates for you.
No, I want to hear your story.
I do too, Angie. So fire away, girl. Tell us about you.
Okay. Well, I was trying to decide how I would start this, you know, because I have a little bit different story, but I'm going to kind of work backwards a little bit, I think. So, okay. My husband, Jack, so I'm remarried now to Chance. We've been married. He's amazing. He supports everything I do. He lets me grieve. He lets me talk about Jack. He lets me do it all. So I love him and appreciate him for allowing me that space. And he also allows my daughter, you know, our daughter now, Gracie, who is 21 years old, and she's a senior in college, which is unbelievable. So Gracie was 6 when her daddy died. So my husband, Jack, was probably, October of 2006. Jack traveled a lot for work and he had a lot of issues with his eye. He was just like, he came home from a business trip and he's like, is there something in my eye? Is there a scratch? Something, you know, and this kind of went on and on for a little bit. And, you know, let me kind of just backtrack. Jack and I knew each other, our whole life. Our families were friends. We grew up together. We kind of dated, I guess you'd say, like in sixth and seventh grade. Oh, so he was 1 year older than me. And so we went to a small school here in Nebraska and we would pass notes back and forth.
Aww. Oh, they check yes and no.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
So we started that. And then that was kind of really the end of it, you know, and then, but we were still really good friends. And actually my sister's 3 years older than me. And so I think Jack actually asked my sister out to go to a movie and she was just like, no, or whatever, you know, like you're too young for me and whatever. So then going through high school, we were friends. And then Jack went to school. He went to college. I had my senior year of high school left and Jack went to college down at KU and his grandparents helped him pay for college. And they told him, you know, if you party too much, you've got to come back. And so Jack partied too much. No. And so he had to come back after his 1 year of school at KU.
And I feel you, Jack.
Yeah,
I feel you,
boy. Exactly. So he came back here and then I had graduated at the time from high school. And so then we just kind of hooked up and started dating and that was it. We dated probably for about 5 years. Yeah. 1920s. We got married when I was 25. And so then, yeah. So Jack was 30. He had just turned 34 when he was diagnosed with cancer. So in October, after going around and around with his eye, at the end of October, his ophthalmologist, she finally saw something in his eye that she kind of thought she knew what it was, but even back in 2006, Nebraska didn't have the equipment to do the testing for eye cancer. So he needed like an ultrasound of the eye and all this. Nebraska didn't have that in 2006.
Wow.
So we had to go to Iowa, to the University of Iowa, because they have a huge ophthalmology department there. And
smart people there.
Yes, yes. And that amazing, amazing facility. So we went there and it was a day full of tests and everything. And we got the news that he had ocular melanoma. So basically he had a very large tumor in his eye. Yeah, it was just, it's kind of crazy. So Jack actually had melanoma when he was 21. Well, he had it when he was 20. He had a spot on his arm and they removed it. It was contained in that area. You know, they had to remove some of a part of his little muscle there and all that stuff, but it was not really a big deal, you know, but it hadn't spread anywhere. So he had surgery the day before his 21st birthday, actually. Mm. And then that was good. Then, you know, life went on. And then so this, you know, was about 14 years later that this, you know, was happening. So then they ran tests, all the tests, and they wanted to remove his eye, you know, Iowa was, and we were just really adamant at that time. We're like, you know what? We're going to go back home to Nebraska. We need to talk to our families, digest what's being told. And so we made that trek home and we saw his doctor, his family practice doctor, and he, you know, he pushed through for some tests and we found out then that his cancer had spread, you know, it spread to his liver and his spleen and his brain. So we were in a way different battle then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jack was diagnosed stage 4 terminal cancer.
How old were you?
Well, 35, 36, probably, because time. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember.
It's a thief.
I know. So anyways, yeah, he basically, the prognosis wasn't good. So we just had to really decide what we wanted to do. They put the removal of his eye on hold. Then we just went through. He had to have chemo. He had to have radiation, you know, all the bad stuff. And, you know, we had a Caring Bridge page when Jack was sick. So in the process of all that, you know, we're writing, Jack wrote a lot in that. And I was just looking through that because I'm in the process of writing a book about our story.
Awesome.
And so I wanted to get a lot of his writings from that. And so I didn't realize how sick Jack was. So Jack battled for 16 months is all he had. And
like us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he died in February 2009. Looking back now, we're almost 15 years out now, you know, but I forgot how sick Jack was so much. You know, I didn't remember that he was sick for 16 months. Like I was even telling my husband Chance this now the other day, I was saying, I didn't remember at all that when they radiated Jack, you know, so they radiated his eye as well to, you know, minimize the tumor. But they also, so with all that radiation, he lost like 68% of his hearing in his ear. I don't even remember any of that. Like, mm-hmm. but I mean, it was all right there in writing. And
yeah,
that's cool. what I wrote my blog about a couple of weeks ago was just like, the title was like, What Grief Lets Us Forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm like, I'm kind of thankful I don't remember that, you know, mm-hmm. but then I'm also sad because then I don't remember any happy times during that time either. Mm-hmm. And I know there were, you know, and like we said earlier that, you know, time is a thief and it really is. It, you know, I want to preserve all those memories, mm-hmm. but it was such a hard period, that 16 months mm-hmm. of every battle that Jack had to go through that I just, I can't remember some of it, but I am mm-hmm. thankful I have the Caring Bridge site.
That is really neat, that Caring Bridge, that it's still there
yeah.
and that you have that.
Yeah, I printed out the whole book. The whole thing, they make a book for you and mm-hmm. then you have all the guest entries that anybody, oh. yeah, so you can print it out. And so I printed a copy for myself and for Gracie for when she was older, when she got older, and then our family. So mm-hmm. it's, yeah, it's a wonderful thing that they have, but
I should do that. Eric yeah. never wrote in our Caring Bridge, but I wrote in it.
Yeah.
I don't really want my thoughts, but Eric, I forgot when you talked about Jack losing his hearing. I don't know how if I've ever mentioned on our podcast, but Eric went blind during his journey because his blood was so thin. He got a bleed in the back of his brain and he was blind for a good 6 months of his journey.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah. He couldn't draw. I mean, he was really like, that was just one of the things yeah. you forget.
Yeah,
yeah.
You do forget.
Yeah.
Ross mm-hmm. lost his hearing too.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Did he have radiation?
The last, no, he didn't.
Okay.
Experimental chemo. Did it.
Mm. Yeah.
That's cancer. Allie and I were talking this weekend. I was telling her about how paranoid I am about how I'm always confident that I have cancer. And she's like, would you have treatment? And I was like, I don't know. Would you? And we both were like, I think we would tell each other to do what we feel is best and we'll support you through whatever.
Yeah.
But the treatment.
I know. I've thought about that too. Just, watching someone go through that treatment like that. And it's just, it's awful, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, having little kids at the time too, you know, Gracie's, you know, 5 and, you know, she was 6 when he died, but they don't understand what's happening. They mm-hmm. don't understand that, mm-hmm. you know, their daddies are getting poison put in their body. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, because that was one of the things when Jack's brain tumors, they started coming back full force, you know, December of 2008. And, you know, they told us, they're like, well, he probably only has like 6 to 9 months to live. And I was pissed because I was like, you know, you don't get to put a time frame on our life. Mm. You don't get to do that, you know. And then I was really mad because Jack only lived 2 months.
Oh.
And so I'm like, you know, then I was pissed again because I was like, I didn't get those extra 4 months that you told me that I might get, mm-hmm. you know,
because somebody owes you those.
Yes. And I'm like, there were still questions I had to ask, you know, and oh, it Angie. Just, so those, you know, those things I think about now and I'm just like, I could say I would do all, you know, everything differently, but you know, how do we know?
Right.
You know, we do
right.
what we think is best. And I know that doctors do as well. They can't see everything, but I was still mad about that.
I remember asking Zaid how long Eric had and he wouldn't tell me. He's like, I won't tell you that. I'm never even gonna, don't ask me again. I'm just telling you we're living in the moment.
Probably the best thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we had a lot of false hope, I think. You know, mm-hmm. I did, obviously, after Jack died. I was, you know, stunned into that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't get the rest of the time. I didn't get my eternity either. So, I mean, you know, that's... That right. I was robbed of that as well. And Gracie was robbed of that, of her daddy. And
yeah, absolutely. You were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were.
Then, so my brother had been battling a brain tumor for 5 years. And so where we lived, Jack and I lived on a farm. And so we had like the big house. And then my sister-in-law and brother lived in the little house because it was like Little House on the Prairie or something.
I love that's going to be us someday.
I know.
Yeah. I'll take the little house. Okay. Yeah. With the big closet.
With the big closet, yeah. That's what they had. One whole room was a closet.
Atta girl.
So my brother, he's 6 years younger than I was. But he had battled his brain tumor. I mean, you know, three brain tumor surgeries, and they always came back, you know, like grade one, you know, stage one. And he never had to have any chemo or radiation or anything. So he was always very fortunate. He bounced back each and every time. And then it was, I just remember we were leaving Jack's funeral, and my brother was, he was driving me and my sister-in-law and Gracie home. And he's just like, it's okay, sissy. He's like, I'll be there. We'll take care of you. You know, everything will be fine. And I was like, thank you. You know, and I just, I remember sitting there in the back seat, just like praying, like, it's going to be okay. I have family here, you know. And so Jack died February 8th, 2009. And my brother started having some issues again in March, the beginning of March of 2009. And he had his third brain surgery on March 13th of 2009. And this time it came back a grade three. So we knew that he was going to have chemo, radiation, you know, everything. So after he healed from this, he was going to start that journey. And he just never bounced back from it. And the brain tumor just came back with a vengeance. And he died on April 7th, 2009, almost exactly 2 months after Jack did.
Oh my gosh.
So at that point in my life, I was so lost and so confused and so mad. I'm not an angry person at all. And the anger that I felt, I think just really, it really scared me, you know, and I just, I still can't even believe that that was my life at that point. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, so now Gracie and I really are alone, you know, and it was hard to lean on family because we were all going through it, this all. Jack's parents had lost their son. And now, you know, my brother was a part of their family. And then, you know, my parents lost their son, you know, and it was just all a lot. My, you know, my siblings, they lost a brother and a brother-in-law. And so we had a lot to deal with. So I was thankful that I did have a good group of friends. We lived in a small community. Jack was on the volunteer fire department there in the community. And everybody just surrounded us and helped us, you know. So I was thankful for them because, like I said, my family, we couldn't mm-hmm. lean on each other because we were all grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All the same people, but differently.
Yeah.
And it was just, and so it was just, it was really hard to decipher mm-hmm. who I was grieving for, you know. Mm-hmm. And
did you connect with your sister-in-law since you both now were widows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did. And we still remain very good friends. And she's also remarried now, and she has little kids now. Her and my brother were only married about, I think, a year and a half.
Oh my gosh.
So they were not married very long. And so I always tell her that I just feel like, you know, Seth, my brother, would be so happy that she has this beautiful little family. And I know he'd be so proud of her and everything. Mm-hmm. So we still talk. You know, they come to any, you know, big family things that go on. And so it's that's nice.
That's neat that you have
right.
that connection, at least. Yes. Like, you both understand what it's like to be a widow.
Yeah.
It is interesting how you bring up, Angie, that you all were grieving the same person in some way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. but it was in such a different way. It is hard to lean on family. I think families suffer a lot mm-hmm. when they're watching other people grieve. And I know it's really hard for Eric's parents because they grieve for me. They grieve for the kids. They grieve for Eric's sister. They grieve for themselves. And it's like, I am so caught up in grieving for me because it's so impactful to me that I can't, you know, I wish I could be more of a support to them and help them through their grief, but it's just so incredibly hard. And then I think about my neighbor who's grieving for his buddy,
uh-huh.
who he used to walk over to the garage and just hang out with.
Yeah.
And then I think about all these other people who are grieving for Eric, and I've always said, like, I want to help them, but I can't. I still am so caught up in myself and the kids.
Yeah.
Does that take a while?
Yeah. And I think it's okay. I think it just kind of all unfolds how it's supposed to, you know. Like, I don't think you'll ever get to the point where you'll take care of them or do mm-hmm. things, but I think you'll be there if something happens to them or within their family dynamics. Mm-hmm. You know, like your family, you know, for example, when you, you know, when you get to that point, like I've always been very close to Jack's parents, and my father-in-law, Jack's dad, actually just died this year as well. So I've been a very, you know, but I was able to go full force into helping my mother-in-law with mm-hmm. everything, you know, and Jack's dad, he actually died the same day Jack died.
Oh my goodness.
February 8th.
That's crazy. That is Ross's birthday.
Is it really?
Yes, February 8th.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So my father-in-law, Gary, he had been very ill. He had a very rare disease, and it's a form of Lou Gehrig's disease. So he had that for about 10 years. And I just remember when he was getting very bad, we had hospice at the house. And so that Tuesday, so Wednesday was February 8th this year, I think. And then I just remember being at their house on February 7th, Tuesday. And Gary never just ever gave up. He lost his ability to talk. He lost his ability to eat. You know, he had a feeding tube. He couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And it was so awful to watch. But just like, how, you know, like, how is this guy, you know, just surviving still and living? And, you know, my prayers for him always were just to be free of all that, you know? And so I just remember, I was like, tomorrow's Jack's, you know, the anniversary of Jack's death. And I'm like, you know, I always try to do something to honor him. And I got that call on Wednesday morning about 7:30. And he had some caregivers that stayed at the house 24/7 with them. And they call and they're like, Gary died this morning. Like, he had just died. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I just was like, okay, I'll be over. And they live very close to me now. And so I was like, okay, I'll be over. I said, have you told Suzanne, my mother-in-law? And they're like, no, we're going to wait for you to come here. You know, she's in her bedroom still. And I'm like, yeah. So I was like, okay. So I'm like, I'll be there, you know, but I got off the phone with the caregiver and I got mad again. Like, I was like, why do I keep on getting angry with these situations? But I'm like, this is Jack's day. I'm like, I cannot believe that Gary died the same day as Son did. You know, I was like, I was kind of angry. Mm-hmm. And then as I was driving there, I got a hold of myself and I'm like, you know, that's actually really beautiful. And I, you know, I was just like, that is what was meant to be, you know? And so I had this huge peace and calm over it. And I thought, and so then when I got there, you know, I told my mother-in-law and we, you know, we went in there, but we were just sitting there talking. And I said, you know, Suzanne, I said, they probably did this to make it easier for you so you don't have to remember 2 days. You know, she's like, yeah, you're probably right. You know, cause she's in her 70s. And we just kind of got a little giggle out of that, but
my gosh.
Yeah. So it's just, yeah, it's just crazy. The dates and time have always been a weird thing for me, you know, just
me too.
With everything. Cause Jack's birthday is February 20th. So, you know, he died February 8th and then his birthday was February 20th. So it's just like, okay, all that. And
those big months are tough. Allie has a May that you couldn't even, like, you can't even swallow this pill. Like, the way her May looks with her dates, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Between their anniversary, her birthday, Ross passing away, it's nuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's just kind of, you want to just skip over those months.
Yeah.
Kind of like skipping over the winter months, but.
February's my month too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It's tough. Yeah. But, you know, and then I'll just kind of, since I said I was going to go back. So my whole grief journey started in 2006, we lost our son, Garrett. Our little boy was 1 when he died. And Gracie was 4 at the time. And the death of our son was what catapulted me into a grief that I've never known before. You know, so he died in his sleep.
Oh my gosh.
We didn't really know. At first, they were saying he had SIDS, but our pediatrician was just like, no, Angie, no, I don't think he had SIDS. He's like, I know babies can die that are 1 year old from SIDS, but nope, I don't believe it. So we did some further testing and we found out he had a heart defect, and it was just an undetected heart defect. And so he died. His right coronary artery was kinked, and basically it either happens, it's sudden death, and happens in extreme rest or extreme activity. So Garrett was sleeping and he died. So,
oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
That was probably, you know, that's when Jack and I, we just really, I don't even know, you know, I don't even know how we move forward, honestly. The first 6 months after Garrett died, and so Garrett was the same. He died 6 days after his first birthday. So he was, his birthday is June 21st, and he died June 27th. Honestly, it was just really a fog for 6 months of my life. I mean, it was probably even longer, but I felt like after around December, I felt like, okay, I can see a little bit. I don't even know how to even process that, you know, but that's when, you know, and I think I accidentally said when Jack was diagnosed, he was diagnosed in 2006, but it was 2007 because it was a year after Garrett had died. But, you know, we went through that whole first year after Garrett died and we made it, you know, and I thought, okay, we made it. This, you know, mm-hmm. we're all here, you know, and our biggest thing I know is Jack and I, we just really wanted to protect Gracie, you know, we wanted to wrap her up in a bubble. Mm-hmm. We wanted to just protect her, you know, and mm-hmm. do everything we possibly could to make sure she was surviving and thriving and growing and having a happy childhood. Because I just felt like she, you know, I was like, this is going to really be crappy for her for the rest of her life, you know, mm-hmm. just me being sad all the time, mm-hmm. you know, her daddy being sad all the time. Mm-hmm. But somehow we navigated it. I don't know how we did. I feel like, and I think I kind of just told you a little bit of this too, Crystal, mm-hmm. when we chatted, you know, I think the stress of Garrett's death really impacted Jack, you know, physically. And I just think it ignited some of those cancer cells that had been dormant in his body from before. And I just think all that stress kind of ignited it. I mean, that's, you know, that's just something I really feel. And I've done a little bit of research on it. I mean, I talked to the doctors out at the University of Iowa, and I mean, they kind of said, yeah, stress can do this type of stuff, mm-hmm. but you know, they didn't know the full story and all that. So when my brother died, you know, I was not just grieving three people that I had, you know, just those two people. I mean, I was grieving all three of those losses, and
no wonder you were angry.
Yes.
Like what yeah. the hell?
I know.
You were adult, Angie. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was, I didn't know, you know, I just didn't know. And so I had to figure out, the only way I could figure out how to move forward is I had to figure out how to decipher who I was grieving. You know, who was I grieving? Garrett? Was I grieving Jack? Was I grieving Seth? You know, I didn't know, you know, and but I had to just, you know, say, okay, who am I sad for today? You know, okay, I'm sad for Garrett. I'm just going to focus. I'm not even going to think about Jack and Seth, you know? And so then I had so much guilt then too, because I'm thinking, well, then I'm going to forget these guys. But I, you know, it's just such a mind game.
Oh, right. Yes. You had a lot going on.
Yeah. And, you know, the biggest thing was like every day I have to get up because I have this beautiful, brave little girl mm-hmm. that deserves a life of happiness. Mm-hmm. She deserves a good childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, she deserves the world, you know, yeah. and I'm going to mm-hmm. give it to her however she can. So, mm-hmm. you know, I have to show up and get up and move through the days, you know, and it was hard. The loneliness, which yes. I mean, you guys mm-hmm. can
100% relate.
Right. A loneliness is like no other.
I know.
It is even, oh my gosh.
I don't even know. Like, I think there should be a different word for like yes. widow loneliness.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Because it's, I don't know. I just remember, you know, so, you know, Gracie's in first grade when her daddy dies. So she's, when we go into second grade, you know, I just remember like the nights. She'd go to bed, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock mm-hmm. or whatever bedtime was. And I would just be sitting there like, holy moly, mm-hmm. this is awful. And yeah. this sucks. Yes. You know, I had nobody, you know, and my grief was compounded too, because, you know, Garrett was one when he died, and I was still taking care of him. He wasn't quite walking yet, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. I bathed him. I fed him. You know, I was his mommy. I did mm-hmm. everything. So, I mean, that was ripped away from me, you know,
absolutely.
2.5 years prior to Jack dying, you know. And then here I was trying to make all the decisions in this household. And so we just basically, I just said, Gracie, we're going to travel. So we traveled. Mm-hmm. We went to Disney, which was a horrible idea. Would mm-hmm. never suggest doing that.
Agree. Do not do it.
Do not do that.
And Florida was great, though.
Yeah.
Recommend that.
I don't know. The day Jack died, my sister and brother-in-law and my niece and nephew were going to go to Disney. And so the day Jack died, I said, would you please just book the same trip that you guys are going on? Here's my credit card. But Gracie and I, we're coming with you. Because they were going to go in May. So mm-hmm. we had a couple months. So my brother-in-law did. Great. Something to look forward to, you know. Well, then, of course, my brother dies in the middle of that. And then I was like, perfect. This is even better. We're going to get out of here. And terrible idea. Like, seeing the happy families.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Gracie's meltdowns, because she was angry and sad. I was angry and sad. It was not good. So then, you know, we decided that maybe Disney wasn't our thing.
I'm not a Disney mom. She's a great Disney yes. mom. I am
I
not.
Can imagine, yeah. So I was just like, maybe we'll go like to the ocean or something like that. Yeah. So we did. And then we went and saw my cousins in Seattle. And then we went out to North Carolina, and one of my very best friends lived out there, and we stayed with her, and she had girls the same age as Gracie. Mm-hmm. So that was wonderful. And she just let me sleep, and she took care of me, and it was wonderful. And we were away. But every time we came back from the trips, it was like reality hit. I was like, yeah. I was trying to run away yes. from everything.
Yes, I still do.
Yeah. I do too. And it's there. I tell you every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like you get home, and then it's just mm-hmm. like, so nothing's changed. So
nope, nights still suck.
Yeah. Yep. And no one's coming back.
Right. Mm-hmm. And no one's here to help me.
Yeah.
And I'll be sleeping in this bed alone.
Alone. Yeah.
And no, I don't want a stranger. I want my husband.
Exactly.
Right. No, yes. I don't want anyone but my husband.
And you're stressed out. And now you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out. I'm grieving. And you can get cancer.
Exactly.
It's like your story reminds me of is like you can go through the shittiest, worst thing in the world. And it still happens again.
It does.
You.
It can get
like,
worse.
You don't get one thing bad happening to you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It happens your whole life.
You don't. And that's very true. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I thought after our son died that we got a pass, you know.
Yeah, you got a pass for life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Losing, you know, burying my son. And, you know, I thought I get a pass for life. And that was not true.
No.
Yeah.
It was not true at all.
Oh my gosh,
which
Angie.
Is scary in itself, but also it's like, okay, we really have to live life to the fullest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we have, all three of us have gone through absolutely horrible things, but that doesn't mean that 2 months from now, something even worse could happen.
I know.
You know?
I know. Mm.
You're so right, Allie. That's why I get so frustrated when I, so Angie, do you work outside the home?
No, just my card business.
So I pour, which is super cool. Like the nights I get lonely, I pour myself into work and then I start doing my work and then I get mad at my work. Like it's their fault that I'm putting all of my energy into this when I really should be processing or dealing with my life, but I marry up to work. I'm like, well, that will keep me engaged because somebody at work needs me.
Yeah.
Because my job is to help people.
Yeah.
And so if I can like find out, oh yeah, I did need to solve their problem. And then I get anxious over that because I'm crazy, wicked busy at work. And so it's a double-edged sword for me.
I was working when Garrett died, you know, and I never went back to work just because I couldn't even function, honestly. And I mean, I remember I had a meltdown with my mom and Jack. We were at Ace Hardware Store and I was like, they were asking me what I wanted to buy. And I was just like, who cares? What? I don't know. And this poor old guy, I just remember this so vividly. Like, I was like yelling at my mom and Jack had just like, who cares about the door? You know, and this old guy's looking at me like, this lady is crazy. I'm like, yeah, yeah, she is crazy. She's crazy and I'll be crazy forever. But, you know, I didn't ever go back to work. But then I was like, I started getting that when I started kind of coming out of the fog a little, I started as like, I'm going to get that helping heart, mm-hmm. you know, like, so I'm like, I'm going to become a nurse because I'm going to fix everybody. I'm going to make sure nobody else,
yeah,
you know, suffers, you know, that's uh-huh. what I want. So I started taking classes at, cause I never did get my degree after I graduated high mm-hmm, school. I became mm-hmm. a travel agent, mm-hmm. but I never got a bachelor's degree. So I'm like, I'm going to start taking classes at Metro. So that's what I was doing. And then it was filling my soul, you know, it mm-hmm. was filling my bucket. I was doing that. And, you know, we were moving through life and then Jack got cancer. And then I was still taking courses and doing all that. And I got accepted into, Nebraska Methodist College. And I was scheduled to start that in August of the year 2009 that Jack had died. So I was like, okay, this is good. But I started going through it. And I just remember walking into, it must have been like the counselor's office there. You know, she was amazing. And I told her my whole story and mm-hmm. everything. And she kind of told me a couple things. And I just said, you know, I said, I guess I just didn't realize that what I was thinking I wanted to do, then my whole life turned upside down and my plans and dreams and everything went with it, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just kind of like it all spilled out of the bucket, you know, it's mm-hmm. gone. And so I said, I don't think I can be a nurse anymore. I can't even focus. I don't. You know,
yeah, it your life gosh. Changed.
Yeah, everything
grief
changed.
Changes you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So there I was just being a mommy and raising Gracie. And
it's a big freaking role.
It's a huge role.
Especially huge role. As you're navigating grief of your husband, grief of your child, grief of your brother. That is huge. That's a very big role.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm curious, Angie, if you're comfortable sharing, you know, how as Gracie is now an adult, I have girls. And so I'm just like, I keep waiting for them to change because right now they're so supportive of me and they're of each other and they love each other and they love our family. I'm worried that there's going to be a moment when they're going to switch and they're going to be like, my mom didn't handle grief well.
I think you might be surprised. Okay. Gracie, she's done phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I've done a really good job. We've always talked about everything and everybody mm-hmm. all the time. There's no limits on that. My husband Chance now, when he was going to ask me to marry him, you know, he asked Gracie mm-hmm. and he's just told Gracie, he said, Gracie's like, you know, he goes, I am not your daddy. And he goes, and I'll never take place of your daddy. He goes, but I'm going to be here for you as that daddy figure that you need. So if you want, you know, can I marry your mommy? And mm-hmm. she said, yes, of course. And so I just feel like, no, Gracie has never, she's just navigated it very well. Mm-hmm. I think with Gracie losing her brother at 4 and then, you know, she right before her 7th birthday, you know, her daddy died and then her uncle died and she was thrown into that at such a young age. And I think we just navigated it all. I don't know. I don't know how we did it, but I just honestly,
you did it.
We did it. And, you know, she's, like I said, she's thriving and she's never said, you've never done this or you'd never given me this or, you know, anything like that. Now I will say I probably spoiled Gracie a little bit more than I probably should have as she was growing because I felt sorry for her in a way. And I think that I coddled her a little bit more. And, you know, I always give grace to everybody, but I probably gave her an abundance of grace where there were times that maybe I should have been a little bit more strict with her. But like mm-hmm. I said, she's turned out phenomenal. She's getting her bachelor's degree. She's 14 hours away from me. I mean, she graduated in COVID year, so she never even really graduated.
Oh, wow.
And then she started college 14 hours away from home, and she started during COVID. And she's never looked back, you know, and she's never had the it's not fair mentality or why me mentality. Good. And, you know, Chance's family, they've just embraced us both so much that she gets that family unity that we lost, you know, because we lost everything. And with this, she has all these kids that are the same age as her and, you know, her cousins now. And she's doing great, you know. And when I told her about me writing a book, you know, she's just like, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, I love that.
She's like, you need to get on Hoda.
Okay, Hoda, if you're listening, check out Butterflies and Halos.
Exactly. So she was just like, you know, and so when we talk about things like that, it just, I'm like, Angie, you've done okay, you know?
Yeah.
You have done okay.
I love that.
You've done more than okay.
No kidding. You're doing really well.
And you're helping so many people with your cards too. Yeah.
I hope so. You know, that's my one thing is, and I do know I am, because when I go to pop-up events with my cards, the stories I get from people, I mean, people will be looking at my cards and they're like, well, why would you sell these type of cards? You must have been through something. You know, that's kind of what they all kind of start off with. And I say, yeah, you know, and I just say, yeah. I said, I lost my son and my husband and my brother. And then they're just, and then they start crying because then it's letting some of their grief out. Yeah. Because then they'll tell me their story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I've had people just like walk away and just kind of wave at me and just cry like I can't. So I know what I'm doing is good. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I know it's helping people. And I'm just like, I think we all want to, like with what you girls are doing here is just, you know, we're trying to change the narrative around grief and the stigma that death brings to people. And by doing this and talking about it and just getting it out there, I mean, I just want to scream all the time, like, let's talk about our people. Let's talk about death. Let's talk about grief.
Oh,
it's
my
not,
gosh.
It's not bad. No. It's good, you know, and it can be beautiful. As hard as it is for us, but that's what we want to do, right? We want to talk about our people.
All the time.
Oh my gosh.
All the time, you know, because that's what gets us through. And I mean, you know, I now, you know, like Chance knew Jack as well. We know I've known his family. So he knew Jack and my brother actually worked for Chance.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, we were connected prior to that, but I mean, we can sit there in a room with Jack's buddies, our family, and we can talk and tell stories about Jack because Jack was a bigger than life guy and he had friends from coast to coast, you know, and there was nothing that that man couldn't do. But what I love is like Chance allows me to talk about that and he will even tell a story or a funny story. Aww, and
I love that.
It just, I'm blessed, you know, and I say that a lot, and some people that are kind of newer into their grief process, they're just like, how can you say you're blessed? And I'm like, well, I am blessed. I mean, we're lucky if we get a love once, you know, and we're really, really lucky if we get a love twice, and that's where I'm at. So
I love that.
I like that too, Angie. That's really sweet. Yeah. Thank you for coming on today. Like this, your story is... it's got all of the components of grief to it and all the feels in the entire world. And to see you persevere and to see you here today smiling and excited about being able to do what you do is so special after everything that you've been through. So you're an amazing woman.
Well, yes, you are. Thank you girls for having me on here. I just, I've loved listening to you. I've listened to every episode. So
what's your favorite episode?
Oh gosh. Actually, you know, I can't remember which one it was, but it's one of your probably earlier on ones. Just Allie, actually, like some of the vulnerability that you showed and just like letting your grief out and, you know, the stories that people tell when they tell them with tears or, you know, sadness in their voice. I mean, honestly, those are the ones that really resonate with people. They really, really do. I love what you girls are doing.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Going back to the beginning, I just have so much love. And so I just love hearing other people's stories. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. So I don't know. I'm just so glad we're doing this. And yeah. I'm so glad you're here.
Yes, I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I like saying that, you know, I journaled a ton, but I started after Garrett died. And that was one of the things that I look back at those journal entries. And it's just like, wow, you've come a long ways, lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those were some dark and ugly journal entries in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but it's so, I mean, it's just amazing what, you know, what we can do with all the hope and love in our heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so much hope and love.
Yeah.
But I have a hard night. I mean,
for sure.
I'm starting to journal too.
Good.
And I like the things that just kind of pour out of me. It is very much sadness. It's very much loneliness.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, I guess you would say, dark things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like my grief coming out.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It totally is. Yeah. You know, and even though, like, I'll tell you, girls, no matter what, even though I'm, you know, like I said, almost 15 years out from, you know, my husband dying, you know, I still grieve him and I still get sad days, you know, it's going to be forever. And it's not, I mean, you know, no matter where you go along in your journey, in your future, you know, if you find somebody else or if you remarry, you know, that's okay. And you just have to give yourself grace and let yourself still feel those sad feelings when they come upon you, you know, because it's so important.
It sounds like you found somebody very supportive of which I think is key to understanding a widow and following that journey.
Yes, it really is. Yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah. I know. I need, what's his name again?
Chance.
I need to find a Chance.
Yeah.
We need to find Allie a Chance. I would take a Chance too.
You only get one Chance.
I
got him.
Okay. Well, we need someone like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. An angel on earth.
Yes. Chance is a good guy. There's somebody out there, and, you know, I wasn't expecting it, honestly. It just happened. Honestly, like, so Chance's sister, Jamie, and I were best friends, and it was just like, I was a third wheel with Jeff and Jamie everywhere they'd go, you know, and Chance just kept on showing up. And I was like, so annoyed. Like, Jamie and I are just like, oh my gosh. Cause Chance is 6 years younger than me.
Mm.
So, and he had never been married prior to that. So, it was just always funny. We giggled because, Chance's mom, my mother-in-law now, she was like, oh, we should set Angie and Chance up. She was telling Jamie and I, and Jamie and I think at the same time, we're like, oh my gosh, no, not Chance. And not because of anything. It was just like, I didn't really think he was my type, you know?
Yeah.
But
funny.
Yeah. And it was, and honestly, he's different than Jack. You know, they are actually two different humans, which I'm glad about that actually, but it was just kind of, it just happened, you know, and it just, I think other people felt awkward about it maybe, but I didn't, because Jack and I had conversations, you know, about moving forward and dating again. And he never wanted me to be alone forever, you know, and, you know, we're not meant to be alone.
No. Eric and I talked about that too. I always said Eric would have married me off before he died if
you
he
said
could
that
have.
Before, yes.
And he never wanted me to be alone. Like, he wanted me to be, he wanted me to be someone's wife. Like, that is what he wanted for me.
Yeah.
And I've come to realize, like, over the past, like, with Eric being gone, like, there is something that I have grown up my whole life really having no self-confidence, no understanding of who I am, and really, I mean, honestly, where did I even fit in this world? And I have struggled with that my whole life. And until Eric died, it took me to realize, like, I was meant to be someone's wife. And that's what I'm going to do. And it's hard for me to think, like, I don't get to do that right now. You know what I mean? And so, like, I think that's what, like, keeps me so, like, missing Eric so much, because I got to be his wife. And so I think that's where
it's a beautiful thing.
Where I struggle. It is. It is beautiful. Like, and when you know how to be a wife, that's a special, special thing.
It is.
Because not everyone knows how to do that.
I know.
Yeah.
And I do it.
Right. You and I are very, all three of us are very special in that we really know how to love.
Like, right. It is.
Love the right way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It is. So.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, signing off from the Hot Widows Club podcast.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, girls.
Angie/butterflies.
I love it.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.